Mazzara and Parra project to Amimora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lip scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Outlaws, Rick Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Fantasy Week 26. This is it, people. It's time to win your fantasy championship. I'm Adam Azer with Scott White. We are winding down, and we are helping you out. We got one-star pitchers and two-star pitchers. And look, you know me very well, people. Ordinarily, I'd be super excited. I'd be yelling and screaming and waving my hands all over the place, just pumped up to do this show. And I will be doing that in not too long. But, of course, we have to start with the big baseball news and Jose Fernandez and talk about him. And Scott White and I are both South Floridians, in a sense. Scott currently lives there. I live in New York, but spent most of my life in South Florida. So we can tell you, if you don't live or have never been down there, whatever, I'm sure you've heard it from everybody, but just what he meant to the community. And Scott wrote a lot of interesting things on Twitter and on Facebook about Jose Fernandez, and I know it's something that you wanted to talk about. So let's start the show with our thoughts on this awful situation.
Yeah, so... You know, yesterday I feel like I was fortunate not to have to be here covering football. So I could, you know, I had some time to actually process this, and it was, you know, I was very emotional, very difficult thing. It was something, you know, when Heath, Chris, and I were talking about it, when I got on into the office today, just how, you know, bad things happen to famous people, and it's always sad. But this really hits us all, I think, much harder. And I feel like Jose Fernandez was something, not just South Floridians, but baseball fans as a whole. We all really had something invested in him, because of course we knew his backstory, how much he had to overcome to just get in the position he was, and then to do so much with it. I still remember the Easter Sunday when I heard that he had made the Marlins rotation out of spring training, and just, you know, this guy who I've been writing all off season about how big of a prospect he was, how incredible his numbers were. But still, making it as a 20-year-old, you're thinking, this probably he can't be that good, kind of thing. And then right away, he was just, you know, maybe the best pitcher in baseball, definitely in the discussion from the very beginning. And then, of course, you know, him being so young, they were careful with him, and then he had the Tommy John surgery, and then he comes back this year, and they're still careful with him, of course. You know, you just knew eventually there was going to be that time when they turned him loose and he'd have that 220 inning season and his star would just take off and he'd be legendary. He'd be legendary. The kind of numbers he put up in such a brief time certainly spoke to that. I feel like there's not really any comparison for the way this feels and the loss that we're all feeling. I think, you know, I was trying to explain it to a non-baseball fan because baseball's not, you know, top of mind for everybody these days, and it just doesn't generate the stars that some of the other sports do. I feel like Jose Fernandez was the LeBron James of pitchers, and then it was suddenly ended at 24. You know, the way he came up with so much hype and then still managed to exceed that hype, and just the star he had from the very beginning. It's a very difficult loss that, it's tragic.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I don't think that's an overstatement. It's just awful.
It's completely tragic and just so out of the blue. I mean, you just never expect something like this. And, you know, sometimes you just grow so attached to a player as a fan of a certain team. But, yeah, it wasn't just Marlins fans that were really attached to Jose Fernandez. He was just very popular. And in South Florida, from where all the time that I lived there, there was one guy who was the king of South Florida sports, and it was Dan Marino. And then there was a second guy who came along and kind of challenged that, and it was Dwayne Wade. And then there was a third guy, and it was Jose Fernandez. And what was so amazing is that, like, people just don't really care that much about the Marlins. But they all cared about Jose Fernandez. He was bigger than the team. And he gave, I think he gave a lot of Cuban people so much hope in Miami. And obviously, it extended beyond that, but in particular, the Cuban people. And Eduardo Perez told a story on ESPN. Sorry, Scott. Told a story on ESPN about one of the times that Jose tried to come over to America, leave Cuba on a boat, and someone fell overboard, and he jumped in and saved that person's life, and it was his mother. And he didn't even know. He saved his mother's life, but he didn't know he was saving his mother. He just knew he was saving someone. So that was an amazing story. And
touching backstory, for sure, from Jose Fernandez. And that's what I mean when I say I feel like we all had so much invested in him. We knew where he came from, and we knew where he was going. And just to see it in like this is tragic, like I said. And then you take it to the next level. I mean, if we're this saddened by it, not even knowing him, I mean, you just think about his family and how much they have invested in him, and just how profoundly their lives have changed because of this. And it's crushing.
It is.
It's crushing. I mean,
and hopefully for his family, they can take some solace in knowing the impact that he had on so many people. And that's quite a legacy that he left. So let's talk fantasy baseball here, and it's an awkward transition, but let's do it. You guys want to win your championships, so here we go. Scott, who did you add and who did you drop this week? I'm not going to sing the Cotton song, but you know I added me some Jarrell Cotton this week.
You did, huh?
Oh yeah, 28% owned. He's got the Mariners on the road, and seven innings, one run against the Rangers, a good Rangers lineup. It wasn't like it was just their B-list guys yesterday. Cotton has a 1.44 ERA and low strikeout totals, but his first two starts were against the Angels and the Royals. They don't strike out a lot. Been better against the Astros, I think, and the Rangers. So I'm willing to start him in a one-start week at Seattle.
I mean, it's been pretty amazing what he's been able to do in terms of how few hits he's given up. And he had a good strikeout-to-walk rate in the minors. What I've been surprised about for Jarrell Cotton is the lack of whiffs on his changeup, because it's one of the pitches that you when you watch it with the naked eye, it's like, whoa, what was that?
You think it's like a touch and a feel pitch?
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, like just the touch, the feel, right? Yeah.
No, I got it. It's just so slow that I don't know. It might almost be too slow. I wonder if he has a complete enough second arsenal to sustain this.
I don't care. I care about one more start.
Strikeout rate. Oh, well, that's fine. He's only 28% owned, so he might be the best you could do off the waiver wire. I'm much more excited about Sean Manaea, who's only 49% owned and is making two starts now. He's lined up to make two starts for the Athletics. His numbers over his last 12 appearances, 11 starts, 2.51 ERA, 1.02 WHIP, 8.4 strikeouts per nine innings. So he really seems like he's figured it out here. I'm also excited about James Paxton as a one-star guy. Again,
yes,
more
sir.
Owned than Cotton.
Yes, absolutely.
But he's
at
going
Houston.
Against the Astros. Yeah, mm-hmm. Swing and miss heavy team. And his last three starts, it seems like he's finally putting together what we've been, or at least I've been, salivating over all season long, that 99-mile-per-hour fastball with the swing and miss curveball. He's using the both. He's getting results with both. And he's somebody who I would, even as a one-star guy, I would be thrilled to put him in my lineup this last week.
And I think you and I, it goes without saying, we prefer Paxton to over Jarrell. Well, not without saying, but we do prefer Paxton over Jarrell Cotton this week as one-star guys. But I didn't pick up Paxton in any leagues.
No.
Yeah.
No, he's Yeah.
Yeah.
He might already be owned in some of them.
Exactly. Exactly. A few other guys that are one-star pitchers that are owned in about the same amount of leagues as James Paxton are Alex Reyes, who has Cincinnati and struggled at the Cubs. I guess it wasn't a huge surprise, but he's got the Reds at home this week, Alex Reyes. And Joe Musgrove, who's pitching, you know, pretty well. Not a ton of innings, but great start against the Angels on Sunday. He faces the Angels again on the road this time. So Reyes, Paxton, Musgrove, they're 60-62% owned. And would you be afraid of starting any of those guys? Reyes against the Reds, obviously not Paxton. You like him. But Musgrove at the Angels.
No, I think they're all good starts this week. I like the matchups for all of them. Alex Reyes is another recent waiver claim of mine who I'm activating for a one-start week. And I think you might be surprised. I guess it won't be a surprise if I'm halfway predicting it, but might be a surprise to a lot of people, depending how this wild card race goes in the NL. Even though Reyes is lined up for just one start, seems likely he could make a long relief appearance there at the end of the week on what would be his usual throwing day. Maybe even come in for an unorthodox save.
That's interesting.
It seems like it's within the realm of possibility enough that it's a little extra incentive to start him.
Yeah, I also think Robert Gazelman made a pretty strong case to be a one-star pitcher. He just dominated the Phillies, 7 scoreless innings with 8 strikeouts. And guess who he's facing this week, Scott?
The Phillies?
The Phillies. Robert Gazelman, right. 41% owned, facing the Phils.
Yeah, you could do worse. I'd still be a little hesitant to start him because I think this was his first 7 inning start, and the previous few were all 5 innings or less than 6 innings.
Three in a row of less than 6 innings, yes.
Yeah. And this was also the first start, I think, where he showed some strikeout potential. And maybe the matchup had something to do with it. Maybe he could take advantage of it again. I just think it's kind of a stretch in a one-star week.
Well, these guys are pretty available. How about Clayton Richard at Arizona and Brad Peacock at the Angels?
Yeah. Richard maybe is a sparp. Maybe. I still think I'd rather go with a traditional closer over him in a one-start week. And Peacock, I'm kind of intrigued by Peacock because he dramatically altered his slider around the All-Star break this year. Made it a much slower pitch, and he's been getting a lot more swings and misses with it. So maybe that helps explain the success he's had here recently. I feel like Peacock's track record, I need to see a lot more from him to really trust him on the level that it would take for me to start him in this critical week.
Well, if we look at the most added list here, it's going to be a lot of two-star pitchers. Chad Kuhl and Sean Manaea are two of the three most added players. Sean Rodriguez is another one. But Chad Kuhl and Sean Rodriguez might be facing a suspension. So, you know, be a little careful there. He's only 19% owned. Chad Kuhl, you know, this is a guy I picked up, Scott, but I have not made the decision about whether or not I'm going to start Chad Kuhl. For me, you know, I'm starting a one-star James Paxton over him. I'm starting a one-star Jose Quintana over him. I'm starting, this is a tough one, a two-star Jay Happ against the Yankees and at Boston over Chad Kuhl. And then I think I'm starting a two-star Colin McHugh over Chad Kuhl. I'm a little afraid of the matchups because I kind of laid this out last time we spoke. Kuhl's been good except for against two opponents, the Cubs and the Cardinals, and he's facing both of them this week. So I do see some break, like make or break. I see some break potential there with Chad Kuhl.
Yeah, there's some break potential. I think all things being equal, I'd rather start like a one-star Paxton, but at the same time, I mean, Kuhl's probably in the upper half of two-star choices this week because there are some bad pitchers making two starts.
So in a points league, I'd start Kuhl over Jarrell Cotton, but in a roto league, I am actually starting a one-start Jarrell Cotton over Chad Kuhl. That is, that's tough. But I think I'm just trying, because I'm in second place, I'm going to finish either second, third, or fourth. So I'm just trying to not have a terrible week. That's all I need to do. Don't have a terrible week.
Yeah, it depends somewhat on your circumstances, how you approach Chad Kuhl, I think.
Yeah.
It could go It could go. I mean, he could get two wins out of it. That's totally conceivable.
Scott likes Sean Manaea. Sergio Romo is on the most added list. He got a save over the weekend. Jared Weaver, I think you are playing with fire if you're starting Jared Weaver and his two starts this week. Yeah, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. I don't want to gloss over Sergio Romo, though, because he's only 15% owned and pretty much shored up the ninth inning gig, I think. I know he has Bobby Evans, the Giants general manager, said he needs to close, and three straight for the Giants. So I think with what the Giants have to play for, Romo's a pretty good option here the final week.
Yeah, you could consider him over Ken Giles. If you look at CBS Sports and you're setting your lineup and you see Ken Giles and he's got the little medical alert thing next to his name, he pitched through his finger issue yesterday and got the save.
Yeah. But bounced back from a 6-run outing.
Right. Yeah, he was awful.
Timeout.
But I don't know that Romo, I don't think he'll get the strikeouts, but you might not need that right now. If you just want some safety and some saves, maybe you go with Romo over Giles. The thing is, the Astros seem to get a save opportunity every time they win. So that's why I haven't been able to get Giles out of my lineup. Other players on the most added list, Ariel Miranda. Miranda did not have a good start over the weekend, I don't think. I have his matchup, if you give me 1 second, but since he's the sixth or seventh most added player, probably worth talking about Ariel Miranda, who is facing... Oh, come on, I didn't get his matchup? That's pretty weak.
I think it's the Athletics.
Okay, do you have any faith in Miranda?
Faith's putting it a little strong. I did advise somebody on Twitter to start him, but I want to look up and see what the context was.
It is the A's.
It was
by
with
the way.
Some awful, awful competition. So his choices were. Wait a second. His choices were he needed two of Miranda, Josh Tomlin, Alex Cobb. Colby Lewis, who got throttled this weekend. Cobb got throttled in his last start and says he doesn't think he'll be right till next year. Tomlin's been pretty good, so Tomlin was one of the two choices, the first of the two choices, but then kind of by process of elimination, Miranda versus Oakland. I feel like it's a pretty high floor start, I guess. I just don't think it has a lot of reward attached to it.
Okay, that's pretty fair. Colin McHugh with two starts this week, and McHugh has been pitching better, and his two starts... McHugh is against Seattle and at the Angels. So, decent start, Colin McHugh?
Yes. Okay. He is, I think he's pretty close to being a must-start, as much as Colin McHugh can be with those two matchups.
Did anybody else other than Sean Manaea that's noteworthy gain a second start this week?
Teron gained one over the weekend, Julio Teron.
Is Adam Conley a two-star pitcher now?
No, I don't.
We have him listed that way.
I mean, that's right.
Mets and at Nationals. I don't know that I'd be willing to do it anyway. Be willing to start.
I mean,
Adam
that's
Conley.
We're kind of I don't know what's going to happen with that situation, Adam.
Right. Are they making the game up?
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen that. It might depend on whether or not the Marlins are in the running.
Right.
At the end of the week.
Yeah, it's totally possible that the team could play 161 games. And if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, Conley was supposed to pitch yesterday, and tonight Jose Fernandez was going to pitch, but Conley will be pitching tonight. He is scheduled to start against the Mets and could get a two-star week.
Yeah, I guess it's likely he does make two starts. But there's a chance he doesn't, and I mean, we don't know what kind of innings he's looking at after such a long layoff this late, no rehab assignment. I'd stay away.
Well, I'm going to tell you three pitchers that I'm staying away from this week, Scott. All right? Okay?
Okay.
Feel good? Here we go. Marcus Stroman. He is at Boston. He has a 9.92 ERA and three starts against Boston this year. Staying right. away. Marco.
He's been so good.
Now,
oh,
no,
do you not
Scott.
Want me to comment one by one?
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't sure what we were doing there. You go ahead on Stroman, sure.
I mean, I hear you on the matchup. Obviously, it's a tough matchup for anyone, but he's been so reliable lately, Stroman has.
reliable. That's the best word I can use to describe him. It's not like he's been great. And Boston is, they terrify me. They're going to be playing for a lot, Boston. They got to get home field advantage.
Well, Blue Jays are playing for even more.
Oh, yeah, but you know, I'm just I know, but I'm just saying that it's not like he's going to face Brock Holt and other bench players that I can't think of right now for the Red Sox. I'm also not starting Marco Estrada, who's at Boston. What do you think? Yeah. He's been really good his last two times out.
He has been. It hasn't been nearly as long as Stroman. I mean, Stroman, you're looking at a 10-start stretch with a 3.06 ERA, more than a strikeout per. And he's a ground ball pitcher, which makes it a little easier against Boston, too, I think, than Estrada.
I just look at so many good pitchers. Like Michael Fulmer, the last time he went to Fenway Park, got absolutely blitzed.
Yeah. There's a danger there, I'll admit. But if it's him or a one-star Jarrell Cotton, I think I'd rather go Stroman.
All right. And I'm not starting Willie Peralta, even though he's been doing some pretty nice things. He's got a 3.23 ERA since being recalled in 55 and two-thirds innings. Willie Peralta's 12% owned, but he's at Colorado. No thanks.
No thanks. I agree with that.
All right. Good to know. Hey, listen, I know you're also going to agree that SeatGeek has been a tremendous sponsor for us. And they're really giving you an absolutely outstanding deal. So please, everybody, if you need tickets to a concert or if you need tickets to a sporting event, SeatGeek has created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. And I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I use it every time I need seats. I actually already have seats for a college football game in a couple of weeks that I'll be attending, Miami and Florida State. But I like going on the SeatGeek app just to see the market, see where what tickets are doing. Prices are going up and prices are going down. You can also see the view from your seat when you buy tickets on SeatGeek. Of course, the best feature that we have for you is the $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. So what SeatGeek wants you to do is download their app, the SeatGeek app, put it on your phone, put it on your tablet, whatever you need to do. Go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, and the promo code is FANTASY. All caps, FANTASY. SeatGeek is going to send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download that app right now on SeatGeek. Enter the promo code FANTASY. This is an app that's going to search multiple sites, give you the best results. You don't have to do the work. They'll do it for you. $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase if you enter the code FANTASY. Anybody going to be resting this week? Are you afraid to start your Cubs or anybody like that, Scott?
There will be some players resting, for sure. We've already seen some players resting now that I think we've had four division winners clinch, right? So we've already seen some of that over the weekend, but as the Cubs have shown, you know, the week and a half since they've clinched, I mean, they're still playing their regulars more often than not. I don't think you can sit the studs. There's being rested for the postseason, and then there's being rusted for the postseason.
Okay.
And you really can't afford the latter. So maybe fringier types like, Carlos Beltran comes to mind in a three outfielder league. You might sit him.
Or like Ben Zobrist.
Yeah. There's reason to sit him just based on performance.
Right. Yeah.
We had a three hit day yesterday. That's the kind of player. Fowler, Dexter Fowler, Addison Russell.
But the Cubs are really the one spot that stand out. Maybe the Dodgers too. I have to check, where they're at with the Nationals and the standings. But in terms of the American League, the three teams that are leading their divisions are going into this week neck and neck for home field advantage throughout the American League playoffs. The Nationals are 91-64 and the Dodgers are 90-66. So, look, things could go poorly for the Dodgers who have already clinched the division and they sit some guys over the weekend, but, I think it's kind of too much guesswork. So, probably shouldn't affect your lineup much. Now, we look at the injuries, news, and notes, and Rich Hill was scratched from Sunday's start due to a blister. You can't start Rich Hill this week, can you?
I am not starting Rich Hill this week. I think he will start, but it might be like a four-inning start.
Yeah. Zach Greinke unlikely to pitch this weekend. He had an MRI on his shoulder, no structural damage, but he will not pitch, almost certainly. Sonny Gray is going to start Wednesday against the Angels. All right, like, would you rather have Sonny Gray against the Angels this week or Jarrell Cotton?
Wow, Sonny Gray, this is actually... You're breaking news to me here.
Oh, yeah,
sir. Sonny Gray's taking a start. Wow. There's no way I'm going to trust Sonny Gray with my season on the line. First start back in months.
Nelson Cruz left Sunday's game with a sore wrist, but he should be fine. He's expected to play today. He's had a wrist injury or issue for a few weeks, or a few days maybe. It's been lingering, but he's fine. He had 3 home runs his last 4 games, Nelson Cruz. AJ Pollock, unlikely to return this season. I did drop him. Bryce Harper, day-to-day with a sore thumb as of 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Monday. Are you starting or sitting Bryce Harper for your championship, Scott?
The one league I own him is a 10-team, 3-outfielder league. I'm sitting him in that, but I'm sitting him for Ender Inciarte. So I have a feeling maybe probably any head-to-head league, I'd rather play it safe and sit Harper. Yeah.
Sitting Bryce Harper for Ender Inciarte, just think about that, people. Think about that. Very fun. Love fantasy sports. Gregory Polanco and Starling Marte are both hurt. So I think Josh Bell probably stays in the lineup. That sound right?
Yeah. Well, he's been playing most of the time anyway, so that does help the cause, though.
Right. I think he was sitting against lefties for Jaso when he didn't have an outfield spot to go to. But probably not anymore. You know, Jake Arrieta had a great start over the weekend, and it was the first time in 7 starts that Miguel Montero caught him. And I looked at that start the last time Montero caught Arrieta, and it was pretty good. So I would imagine they'd stick with that. Arrieta also said he dialed down the effort. So you'll be starting Arrieta this week?
Yes, that was a very encouraging start for Arrieta. It was arguably his best start of the year, in fact.
7 scoreless with 10 Ks.
Yeah.
And he'll face the Pirates on the road this week. Yordano Ventura day-to-day with back tightness. Kevin Gausman expected to start Tuesday despite oblique soreness. That's a risky one to me, Scott. Who's the man? I think it's the Blue Jays for Gausman. Starter sit Kevin Gausman.
Oh, I'm just being reminded Jake Arrieta had a no-hitter earlier this year.
Oh, I forgot about that too.
Well, but it was a 4-walk, 6-strikeout no-hitter. That's why I think my initial impression was this is an even better start. I mean, if you take out the novelty of the no-hitter, this one may have actually been better. But anyway, what were you asking?
Kevin Gausman against the Blue Jays, starter sit. We don't know that he's going to start. He's expected to start.
Right. And considering the matchup, I'd do something else.
All righty. Scott Kazmir dealing with rib and chest issues. His next start date is unknown. Aledmys Diaz sat on Sunday. That's too risky. His arm strength isn't back yet, so you don't know how many games Diaz is going to play. Johnny Cueto, starter sit. They're hopeful he can pitch on Thursday.
Yeah, and hopeful. Oh, man, with
I don't
the
like
season
it.
On the line. But it's Johnny Cueto.
I know.
It would depend. It's not an automatic start, for sure, but it would depend.
Okay.
I'd rather start Paxton over him, I think, but I don't know if I'd go as far as Cotton. We're going to stick with the same names here, so just, you know, adjust to your own situation.
Sure.
As
but
needed.
Like a 2-start Sean Manaea over Cueto. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think Manaea is that good.
Right. Noah Syndergaard missed his Saturday start due to strep throat. That really pissed a lot of fantasy owners off. But he's scheduled to pitch tomorrow, and he's got a 2-start week now. So if you survived, it's going to pay dividends for you with Syndergaard. And Steven Matz is only going to pitch out of the bullpen if he comes back. Scott, who are some of the sleeper hitters that you want to highlight for week 26?
Okay, so I think the most obvious one is Asdrubal Cabrera, who has been the number one shortstop in both head-to-head and roto the last month, basically. And good matchup this week against the Marlins and Phillies pitching staff, so 50% owned about. Definitely, I'd start him in a utility spot or DH spot.
I am doing exactly that. It's in a roto league, but I am starting Asdrubal Cabrera in utility, deeper lineups. But here's a question we got, actually, from Steve. Should I drop Francisco Lindor for Asdrubal Cabrera?
No.
Do you know what Lindor has done in his last 14 games? This is gonna blow your mind. He's 3 for 46.
Mm. I mean, anything can happen in a 14-game sample. Anything.
Yes, including 3 for 46. Does have like 10 walks, though.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, there are scenarios where I think that's possible. If you specifically need home runs in a roto league, much better chance Cabrera is going to provide you those than Lindor this week. But for the most part, I can't replace somebody that high end. It's just paying too much. It's giving too much credit to a 2 week sample that you want it at any other point in the season because players of that caliber bounce back from that stuff all the time.
Sure. Okay, so regardless, we still like Asdrubal Cabrera.
Yes.
Who else?
Yes, we do. I like the whole Brewers lineup. They're at Texas and at Colorado this week and not really facing a good pitcher in either series. Chris Carter's been hot with the home runs lately. He's pretty widely owned, but not universally, and could provide some cheap home runs. I've seen Hernan Perez dropped in a few leagues over the last week, and that seems like bad timing. I know he's slumping, but with the matchups coming up this week and obviously a good steal source, not many of those on the waiver wire. I like Ender Inciarte. That's part of the reason I'm starting him. A guy we pretty much never talk about who I think is a great start this week is Seth Smith, who has been pretty productive of late. I think he had back-to-back weeks with 20-plus points, if you play in that format, with some good power production, and only one left-hander among the Mariners seven games this week. So he's going to play, one left-hander among the seven games. So he's going to play a lot. Pretty good matchups.
Seth Smith.
Yep. Right. Couple more. Ryan Healy cooled off a little over the last week, but had bad matchups, so that was to be expected.
Homered
yesterday. I still think he's
nice.
A good player. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
On the right track.
Yeah.
I like Carlos Gomez, even though the Rangers have clinched. Just don't think you're going to find power speed sources like that on waivers very often. And if you want a deep sleeper, TJ Rivera has been a top 8 player at all 3 of the positions he's eligible, second, third, and shortstop, in both head-to-head and roto since becoming the Mets' primary second baseman on September 13th.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's mostly batting average, which, you know, it makes you a little skeptical. The BABIP is high. I get that. But, I mean, there's something to be said for playing the hot hand, first of all. And secondly, he hit like 360 at AAA. He's a career 324 hitter in the minors. So I think TJ Rivera with that multi-eligibility is he's only like 8% owned. It's,
wow.
It's, okay. Drastically under, maybe it's like 15% on, but it's way too low, whatever it is.
Wow. Okay, so those are some good hitter options. Ender Inciarte, as Scott mentioned, I think he has the most hits in baseball since the All-Star break. He's just been terrific, so you want to get him in the lineup. I don't know if you want to start Lindor. You know, Scott says you would. Matt Carpenter in September is batting .210 with 2 home runs and only 5 walks and 21 strikeouts. He's just not Matt Carpenter right now, and I don't know if it's because of the oblique injury that he went on the DL for.
I think it has to be. It's gone on so long.
You would think.
Yeah, and that makes me reluctant to play him for sure. In a standard mixed league, probably not.
And Yulieski Gurriel, we said some good things about him. Doesn't strike out, this and that. He's just not doing anything. He has 3 hits and 0 extra base hits in his last 7 games. So for a guy who's 49% owned, I don't know that you want to start Gurriel this week, Scott. What do you think?
I agree. I think we've seen more good signs than bad signs from him in this first go around the majors, but he just hasn't really done anything to make you want to start him.
Yeah, we just don't have that. I wouldn't drop him if the season were longer, but we don't have that luxury right now.
Yeah.
We do have the luxury, though, to take advantage of an awesome deal from Indochino. I've done it, and I encourage all of you to do the same thing. Indochino, one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands, they are giving you the best suit you're ever going to get. I mean, this is a high-quality suit, and they have shirts as well if you want to take a look at that. You don't want to buy this suit. For $389. That's 50% off. So people are paying about $800 for an Indochino-type suit. And when I tell people, yo, you can get this suit for $389 at Indochino, I tell them what it is, made-to-measure suit, customize everything, the lapel, the lining, the buttons, the sleeves, the collars, everything, the felt behind the collar, unbelievable. They're amazed because I know people that have to buy fancy suits for work or for whatever it is, and they pay a lot more than that. So, look, you might not need the suit right now. You will need it eventually. Gentlemen, you need yourself a great suit. This is an important purchase for you, and we don't have this offer forever. So go to Indochino.com, or they've got locations across North America. They have showrooms that you can check out. Go to Indochino.com to learn more, and when you check out, enter FBT at checkout. You'll get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when you enter FBT, as in Fantasy Baseball Today, at checkout. 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Also, shipping is free. And how about this? You don't like it, you get your money back. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. No risk here. Indochino.com, promo code FBT. Any premium suit for just $389. Get ready to look like $1 million. Back to the pitchers, Scott. Cole Hamels against Tampa Bay. Start or sit?
Start.
Danny
nice
Duffy.
Bounce back start for him.
Yeah, it was a great start. Danny Duffy against Minnesota. Start or sit? He's been very up and down lately.
He has, but I think he's still a start with that matchup especially.
Okay, Michael Fulmer is going to face the Indians. His last start at the Indians was only two starts ago, and it wasn't very good. He's another. Duffy and Fulmer are just doing the same thing right now. Very inconsistent. Starter sit Fulmer against Cleveland at home.
Yeah, maybe this is just recency bias at play, but coming off the start he just had, one of his best of the season, it kind of relieves concerns of mine that he's wearing down, and I think I'd lean towards starting him. It'd be a matchup. It'd be a, you know, weigh your alternatives kind of situation, but I wouldn't be afraid to start it.
Okay, it's Michael Fulmer. Drew Pomeranz. So he's at the Yankees. Last time he faced the Yankees, he did not do well. 4 runs in 3 2/3. By the way, the Yankees, right now, they're the Brewers. I mean, they have terrible lineup. They got shut out 3 straight games. That's unbelievable. And then I think it took them 7 innings to score in the 4th game. So it is a good matchup right now. Starter sit Drew Pomeranz.
Yeah, I like what he did last time out too, and I think I'd start him.
Here's my concern with Pomeranz. Last time out, 1 run in 5 innings, and that's it. They've got, 75 relievers right now because it's September. So I think that's why you're seeing a lot of 5-inning starts these days. There's just no need to push guys.
That's a valid point, though. That really is a valid point. The Red Sox they've already clinched a playoff berth. They'll presumably have clinched the division by then, and they'll want Pomeranz full force for the playoffs. So, yeah, that makes sense. I guess I would slot him behind Fulmer even in the pecking order. Still probably take him over Cotton, though.
They're going to have 3 lefties in their playoff rotation. That's wild, Scott.
It is pretty wild. Not unprecedented, but wild.
Okay, more pitchers here. Anthony DeSclafani roughed up a little bit at Milwaukee, and he's got the Cardinals on the road. Would you start DeSclafani this week?
I expected more from him against the Brewers on Friday. But, he was going along pretty well. He was going along well, and then I think it all fell apart in the 7th.
That's exactly what happened. So, DeSclafani gave up 2 runs through 6 innings, and then he left with the bases loaded and nobody out in the 7th. The bullpen came in and gave up the runs.
Yeah, I still feel like DeSclafani has achieved a level of, even with some rough patches recently,
he's earned it? You start him?
Yeah, he's earned it. He's earned it.
Michael Pineda against Baltimore, who's been pretty good against in just 2 starts this year, but I think he has pretty good history against them.
Hey, he keeps going adding an extra third of an inning each start, and he keeps pitching well, so.
Next up, quality start.
Yeah. Baltimore still scares me. I don't think I'd use Pineda.
How about Carlos Rodon bouncing back from two terrible starts with a gem, 11 Ks and eight shutout innings at Cleveland? He gets the Twins this week. Rodon, start or sit?
Yeah, you always feel like with the young pitchers especially, you got to figure it out when they struggle in September, and then they kind of like Michael Fulmer just turns around all of a sudden. Against the Twins, I think you have to start Rodon.
Jason Hamill at Cincinnati.
No.
No chance.
No, too risky.
Jameson Taillon against the Cubs.
I think that's too risky, too. Hasn't had the innings since coming back. He's coming. Wait, was he coming back, Taillon?
Taillon, yeah.
But he hasn't had the innings recently.
Yeah, no, three starts of five innings, two earned runs, two or three earned runs in each start, last three starts.
Yeah.
All right, some fringier starting pitchers now, owned in fewer than 80% of leagues. Dan Straley at St. Louis.
I'd rather not.
Taiwan Walker against Oakland.
I'm forced to in that same 10-team league where I'm not starting Harper, but I'm not excited about it. Still looks like he's... It seems like the new delivery's made a difference, but he's still figuring things out.
Ivan Nova, two bad starts in a row, and he's got the Cubs this week for the first time. He has not faced them yet.
Two bad starts in a row, no walks in either, but I'd rather not.
Jeremy Hellickson can't pitch against the Mets. He's terrible against the Mets, but he gets the Braves this week. And actually, last two starts against the Braves haven't been very good for Hellickson. Starter Sid Hellickson.
It's because the Braves have the hot bats.
Yeah.
We're this much time to go, and they've avoided a 100-loss season. How that kind of tells you how much they've turned things around here. And it makes me scared to use Hellickson in a one-star week.
Okay. How about Zach Davies? I don't know. We don't have him listed as a starter this week. I don't know what that was all about, but if he does start, he's either at Texas or at Colorado.
Uh-huh. Not good.
Maybe we're just suggesting to Zach Davies, why don't you take the week off, buddy?
Yeah, potentially.
Robbie Ray, can't start him, right, at Washington?
Nope.
Joe Ross. He's got Arizona.
Arizona? I was trying to think who plays in Arizona. And all they could come up with Cardinals. So, no, it's not the Cardinals. It's the Diamondbacks, and they are a bad team, but Joe Ross does not have the innings build up. So, doesn't even matter who he's facing. Wasted everybody's time.
More pitchers. Francisco Liriano against Baltimore. Start or sit?
He's
been very good lately.
Yeah, he has, but I'm still scared of Baltimore. Just so many power hitters. I'd rather not.
Okay, James Paxton at Houston, we like. Alex Reyes against Cincinnati, we like. Joe Musgrove at the Angels, we like. Tyler Anderson, home against Milwaukee, he's been very, very good at home this year.
I don't have a lot of faith in him in a one-star week, or at Coors, despite what the track record shows. I just think the other shoe's going to drop at some point.
And, well, let's see who else we got here. So that's Tyler Anderson. Oh, this is an interesting one. Eduardo Rodriguez, 59% owned. 13 strikeouts at Tampa Bay. And since the All-Star break before this start, he had a 3.21 ERA since the All-Star break. I'm so annoyed that I got that one start against the Yankees wrong. What about this? Because other than that, he's been very good. What about this week? Rodriguez faces the Blue Jays, and he pitched pretty well against them in Toronto a couple of weeks ago. One start against the Blue Jays, Eduardo Rodriguez.
It's a bad matchup, but it's enticing, the kind of numbers he's put up recently. Just that one blemish. A lot of strikeouts. I kind of like it. I do. I think I might. Like, I'd rather have a one-star Alex Reyes, rather have a one-star James Paxton, but Rodriguez isn't far behind.
Yeah, he's just really emerging right now. Matt Boyd, how about that star? Wow. You think Matt Boyd cost a few people a fantasy championship with four runs on five hits and zero outs?
Yeah, that was ugly. And
terrible.
Was it against the Royals?
Yeah, the Royals.
Okay.
And he's at Atlanta this week.
Yeah, I don't think you can play him.
Okay. No to Matt Boyd. How about Daniel Norris against Cleveland?
He's been pretty reliable, but just not pitching deep enough into game, like can't give you a quality start basically. And so you could do worse, but I think you could do a lot better too.
CC Sabathia.
at Toronto, I think I'd stay away, though. Still feel like he's having an undervalued season.
I think I have him at Boston this week.
Maybe an underappreciated season.
He's facing Boston at home, actually, this week. So,
okay.
Yeah, like, you're not
still
saying.
Yeah, still too difficult of a matchup.
All right, Scott. I think that's pretty much it for the starts and the sits. We can read some emails. By the way, Scott and I have decided we are going to do another show this week. We're going to do a mailbag on Wednesday or Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we got a lot of emails. They're not really this week specific. They're more season long, that kind of stuff. So I want to read those. I want to get to it. We'll do that later in the week. We're very excited.
Very excited.
This is from...
So pumped.
Baldhead B from a city somewhere in Northeast Ohio. Giancarlo Stanton or Anthony Rendon, Categories League?
Oh, you know what? I didn't monitor. I haven't seen Stanton's playing time recently. Let me check on
so
that.
So he sat once over the weekend, I think? You tell me. See if I'm right.
No, he started Friday and Saturday. But was he playing full games? I'm sorry, I got to pull open the game log.
Look, it's risky either way. It's risky either way, Scott.
It is risky. I think I would start Rendon.
Rendon.
Unless home runs seemed like the glaring need on your categories team.
This is from Chris. He says, "Hey, Bud and Lou." Bud and Lou.
I don't know.
Bud Selig, Lou Piniella.
Yeah.
Air Bud.
Probably not. Probably
Louisville.
Not.
It's championship week, 5x5 categories. I have no chance of winning steel, so don't worry about that. Daniel Murphy, Matt Carpenter, or Brandon Drury?
I would rather start... Oh, man, I don't want to start either of any of them.
Carpenter. Got to be Carpenter.
I guess so. Because Murphy's too injured, but we were just saying how...
I know. He's been bad.
Yeah,
especially
Carpenter's
in the categories league.
Mm-hmm.
Jury's cooled off, though.
Are Bud and Lou movie managers? Like, is that... Lou is Major League,
Lou's
right?
Lou's Major and League.
Bud for The Natural? Is he the manager in
sure.
The Natural?
I'm not sure.
Let me see. I'll look it up.
Okay. And utility, Xander Bogaerts, Bryce Harper, Carlos Santana, or Wilson Ramos?
I would rather start in a categories league. I think Santana, just because I think he's hot enough that you can do that, yeah.
This is from Alex. Can you guys go over scenarios for game 163 and the fantasy impact of them? If there are any, we wouldn't count that, would we?
We would count that, yeah.
We would?
I think the default setting is to count that, so you would have to. Now, if you play in the commissioner product, and look, I don't know about the free game. I don't really deal with that. Commissioner product, I think the default setting would be to count it. Obviously, your commissioner could change that.
Cool. Yeah, there are a lot of teams that could play a 163rd game. I don't know who would be pitching them. It would be totally up in the air. So,
By the way, there doesn't appear to be a Bud in The Natural, so I'm wrong about that.
Did you look up just Bud and Lou?
Lou
just started with the basics.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not usually the
one
looking
Batman.
This up.
It's Batman.
You're right.
Yeah.
The pet hyenas of the Joker on the cartoon series.
Okay, then. That's us. This is from Georgie. Hello, Dr. Otto Ortmeier and Sergey Zavarodko. I'm in the finals in both my leagues. One is a head-to-head 12-team points league. The other is head-to-head 12-team categories league. My question is about my points league, and I need to start two of the following players. Anthony Rizzo, Hunter Pence, Freddie Freeman, and Carlos Santana. Rizzo, Pence, Freeman, Santana.
I'm trying to look these guys up. Sorry.
I'll do it.
Freeman, Pence, Santana, and Rizzo, correct?
Freeman, Pence, Santana, Rizzo. Start
and
two.
He has to start one or two?
Two.
Two? Rizzo and Freeman.
Okay. You heard the man.
No need to get cute there. Come on.
Otto Ortmeier and Agent 17. Oh, this is Hitman, a series called Hitman.
Okay.
It's a video game, I think.
Yeah. I think the guy is bald in the video game.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm very unhip. The show always makes me realize how unhip I am. A lot of references I just don't get.
Well,
it's a shame.
You get less hip as you get older, Adam.
You do. I find myself saying things like, you know how older people, they might say the name of a band wrong or a movie star, like, I was going to say something that my mom says, but I can't. It's actually unintentionally very inappropriate the way she pronounces somebody's last name. So I can't say it on the air. But you know how people do that? I am starting to do that. Like, I am saying things that make me seem so old and out of touch. It's pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could think of some examples.
I'm with you. Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
but
it'd be
like,
funny.
Just like anytime there's a YouTube star on anything, I'm always like, I'm supposed to know who this person is.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. Well, listen, it's been fun. I'm not going to say goodbye because we're coming back on Wednesday. Not only that, we have a show every week during the off season. So once a week, we'll be here doing our Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. We do not go away. Deal with it. For Scott White, I'm Adam Azer. Everybody, great luck. Not good luck, great luck this week. Bring home the championship and tell us about it. And if you have any questions, feel free to tweet us or email us. I will answer them, Scott will answer them, and we will help you win your league. Scott, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Adam.
I'm Adam Azer for Scott White. This is Fantasy Baseball Today. Machado.